Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley. Thank you so much for joining us. Our show is brought to you by the law firm of Flesh and Beck. Their number, 303-806-8886. It is fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, lawfirm.com. Always good to have our great friend, Kevin Flesh, in studio with us.
Hey, Scott.
What's happening?
I'm good. I've got a little bit of a cold, so I'll have to deal with that, but just springtime in the Rockies.
I know.
And sometimes this
allergies
happens.
Kick up everything.
Think it's the vid. I think I'm vid free.
Okay.
So I think I'm okay. It's cold. Just the other thing that gets you every spring.
Absolutely.
Starts with all of these things blooming and everything else.
Yep.
And then you end up with this voice.
No,
it is what it is.
Hey, it gets a little deeper.
That's
for the
right.
Radio.
Exactly.
How's the last few weeks been?
It's been good. We've been super busy. I'm trying to think if haven't had any trials, had a couple of settlement conferences, and as a matter of fact, one yesterday that went really well. It had a case that I thought was going to be really difficult to pull out some damages from the insurance company, and we were able to settle the case with a really good result for the client that was really surprising, quite frankly.
Okay.
It was one of those cases where we worked it hard, but the client, super, super likable client, but he has some mental deficiencies in his memory that he doesn't remember things relating to his health and sort of things that have happened in the past. And so that had affected his ability to be completely forthright with his health care providers. And so it looked like he was making things up.
Sure.
But we were able to show that he just had a bad memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a low impact case. And so that's always a difficult situation. But we were able, it was a commercial carrier, and they had done a bunch of work on their end. That I thought would affect it with regard to experts and trying to disprove that there was actual any injury relating to the accident itself. But they ended up coming to the plate and giving us some money that I thought was certainly reasonable under the circumstances. And actually, in looking at the case, thought that we probably would never get close to what they eventually offered in mediation to resolve it.
Wow.
So
it's nice to have those surprises.
It is. It was very much a surprise. And It was one of those situations where I was going through this process. I spent a lot of time with the client in setting expectations and having him understand really what we were dealing with and what my concerns were. And because that's part of the process that we need to go through. And they're hard conversations to have because generally people never get as much as they think is enough to fairly compensate them for their injuries. And they're right because you always are. The litmus test is what six disinterested people are going to do and award you after hearing the evidence. And there's just a lot of cynicism in our system. And a lot of, there's just a lot of questioning by jurors of the reasons that people are bringing these sorts of lawsuits, which is completely understandable. And there's a whole bunch of media attention out there to personal injury lawyers and just these types of lawsuits and how it affects prices and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so had a lot of conversation with him prior to this. And so I was really surprised and really happy. We actually started out the mediation assuming one thing, and we went into a different phase really right after the first offer in the case. You know, mediations are really an extended version of a sort of a flea market sale is the way I want to describe it sometimes to clients, because you start out talking about the lawsuit as sort of a commodity in that there's positives and negatives to it, just like if you were selling a used car or a used implement of some sort. And then the people that are buying it, because that's the insurance company, they've got to buy it, buy the argument and buy the commodity, come back and say, well, this is why it's not worth as much as you think it is. And so we went through some of that for the first hour and a half or so and never had any offers made. And then we sort of got to our offer and then their initial counter. And that's when I realized, oh, we may have the ability to make some some real progress today in getting this done. And so it's one of those situations that we go through in almost every case that doesn't resolve prior to filing suit that was a really interesting process and one that I was sort of taken aback by because my expectation was so minimal, quite frankly, sure. that when we did get what we needed, I think the two things happened. I think the company and the lawyers that we were dealing with, we've dealt with a lot. And so they know that we will try a case. Mm-hmm. We had prepared it as if we were going to go to trial. So they did the same and spent a lot of time on the case in consideration. And then we had a client that they thought after deposing him, they thought that he had some deficiencies in the sense of his ability to remember, but I think they also realized that a jury would really like him. And those are all things
sure.
that we need to take into consideration when doing valuations of cases. And so overall, that's a good example of how we've really helped people over mm-hmm. the last few weeks and how people need to consider what they're doing with their cases when they decide on a law firm and what it is. It's not just, you know, the flashiest ad or
sure.
or the other things, or the meanest, fastest.
The meanest guy.
Yeah, or the fact that somebody can get, I mean, we try to be as fast as possible to get to people and talk with them, but, you know, our competition now, 24/7 they're available, and they'll send somebody out, no matter what their credentials are, to your house the same day. And all of those things are important in the sense of a customer service, but
right.
what's really important is how they're going to try the case and how they're going to work the case afterward. And so those are things that we just want to make sure people understand when they're making a buying decision relating to
sure.
these sorts of cases.
Now, looking back at this particular case, I mean, it sounds like probably your client did a lot of things right in the beginning. So did they get to you in a pretty timely fashion?
Yeah.
Or was this one of these cases where they contacted you a few months after?
Contacted us a few months after,
okay.
but we immediately tried to help him with that and got him into some treatment and got him going and getting himself better. He had some pre-existing conditions, so that also was sort of a double-edged sword
right.
in that it helped us in the sense that we could prove that there were some new injuries because of MRIs that were done previously and previous workup. It also gave them the opportunity to talk about gaps and
mm-hmm.
in treatment and whether or not he really needed to have all of this. You know, it was a pretty low-impact case, and so whenever you have that, the tried-and-true defense mechanism relating to that is, say, well, if the car wasn't damaged in any way, the human beings inside couldn't be damaged, and we know that's not true. We have lots of studies relating to the G-forces that are impacting human beings inside of a vehicle, even though the vehicle may not have a whole lot of damage to
right.
it. And so those are all hurdles, but it is one of those things where he did come to us fairly soon after the accident
okay.
and then did do the things that he really needed to do in trying to create corroboration to his case, even though his memory wasn't the best as,
mm-hmm.
as it could have been. So it was all things that in the end, you know, worked out for him, and we're really happy that that sort of result happened because I've also seen the same sort of case with another insurance provider where it didn't and where we had to go to trial and
mm-hmm.
prove real value. So every case is different,
yeah.
and that's the interesting thing about my job, is that the fact patterns seem to be the same over time, and at the same time we have cases that we get really excited about in the sense of the person has done everything that makes our jobs really easy,
mm-hmm.
and then there's still some stumbling block.
Yeah.
And then you have these cases where you think from the beginning that there's going to be a stumbling block, and in the end they really win. And so in all of that, it just reaffirms sort of what we talk about on a regular basis that people
sure.
need to be thinking about when they make decisions after they've had these situations
yeah.
that weren't their fault
yeah.
and they're injured
right.
because they're things that make a difference.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure. Attorney Kevin Flesch is with us. You're listening to Legal Talk. Once again, his number, 303-806-8886. So mention of doing things right. Let's kind of walk through the steps, and well, we do this from time to time, but you know what? I'm telling you, if you've been in an accident, I think you'll agree with me, your mind kind of turns to mush, even if you're not hurt, you know, whatever. I mean, it shakes you up. And
it does. You have a physical reaction, the adrenaline and the other things that changes your brain chemistry so that you are in a different frame of mind and you don't think about the things probably that you should be thinking about because you're really concerned about your own welfare
mm-hmm.
at the moment.
Right. Several years ago, we did a show on this topic, and I promise you this is the truth. I pulled out, got
yeah.
on 225, and this lady just crushed me from behind.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And then we had just done this show. And so I'm proving my own point in admitting this, that when the police came and everything, and then there was a boxer, "Are you hurt?"
Yes.
And I actually called you from the highway and go, "Man, what do I put there?"
Right.
I know this stuff. And
yeah.
So what I'm saying is if that can happen to me, okay, and not that I'm anybody, but I'm just saying if that can happen to me, I promise you it can happen to you, of not thinking clearly after an accident. So these are some things Kevin's going to review today. What to do. And we're calling it 10 steps to take after a car accident. No certain order, but I'm telling you, if you leave even one of these things out, it could hurt you and hurt your case. So, Kevin, again, no specific order. Let's just kind of run through these.
Yeah, the first thing is at the time of the accident, you want to make sure that you call the appropriate police agency relating to where you're at. Call 911. Even if it's just a property damage mm-hmm. claim, say that you've got an accident, give them the location of the accident. Unless we're under some sort of accident alert, they'll send an officer out to you, and you want to make sure that it's documented what's taken place. And that means that you really shouldn't be moving the vehicles.
Okay.
You should leave them where they're at. You should wait for the police to arrive. There's sort of two schools of thought relating to this. I don't want to put everybody out. I don't want to cause a scene. But the problem is that you want to make sure that disinterested third party comes that has, and police agencies send out an accident reconstruction sort of person. They'll send somebody with training to look at the accident scene and make some determinations as to what took place.
Right.
And that's going to be really a benefit for the insurance companies when they get to the point where they're having to make some decisions about liability,
mm-hmm.
because that accident scene and the way that it is diagnosed as to what took place is going to be dispositive of a lot of things that are happening in the case down the road. And so don't give up that evidence, because if you drive away or you move or you do anything that will cause that evidence to be changed, those are things that may affect your case down the road. And the other thing with that is sometimes people will be like, "Well, I've got to get somewhere. I think I'm okay.
Right.
Not a big deal." You know, there's lots of studies out there that talk about your simple whiplash sort of symptoms generally don't start for at least 48 hours
mm-hmm.
after this sort of impact, especially if you're rear-ended. And so even though you've got the adrenaline and you think you're fine at the scene, I mean, even in your case,
sure,
you probably are somewhat damaged
mm-hmm.
and you'll want to get some medical treatment. But at the scene, you don't know that at that point. And so you'll get those simple questions from the officer. And the officers are trained essentially for their police reports that unless someone is bleeding out, like they see gushing blood, no one's hurt.
Okay.
I mean, unless someone has... If they've asked for an ambulance, then there's going to be injuries. But if nobody's asking for ambulance, and most people don't want an ambulance to show up because an ambulance ride is somewhere between $1,500 and $2,500.
Right.
And most people don't want to see that expense when they think that they could probably get to an urgent care or an ER on their own after the accident. So I get that. That's perfectly fine. I don't want you to be raising, you know, the monetary value of a case improperly when you could probably be more efficient
mm-hmm.
with the funds. But if you're truly hurt, you need emergent care, then that's where ambulances are there, and they're really good at what they do. But getting back to the accident scene, not leaving the initial scene, because there's damages that are left at the scene, you know, body parts of vehicles,
sure.
All kinds of things that come from the accident scene that will give us some really good information down the road. Because if stories change and people's memories change, generally the pictures and the things that are gathered at the accident scene don't change. And so you'll want to make sure that the police agency comes out. Now, the moving of the vehicles is a critical piece to that, because sometimes people, you know, you've got a little bit of a fender bender, you have some injuries right away, but the person maybe is in traffic and they decide to keep on going down the road for a mile or so, and then you may be in a different jurisdiction. You may have a different police agency that needs to show up. It may be not as in the grand scheme of things, maybe an agency that isn't as responsive as the one that you were
sure.
at. So even outside of losing data or evidence relating to the accident, you may end up in a particularly different jurisdiction that doesn't help you.
Hmm.
We had that case a few years ago with the passenger in the Uber and Lyft that got hit
right.
by the motorcycle. You know, they didn't stop. They got hit in Denver, but they didn't really stop and get anybody's attention until they're in another jurisdiction and state patrol shows up. I mean, that was, we could never figure out exactly where exactly the accident happened because they had moved from the location. And so those critical things are really important. And those are things that you got to think about when these sorts of things happen. And it's, I mean, I understand if you're on I-25 and you're in the middle of the roadway, you don't want to be sitting there. I get that.
Sure.
And there's state law about that. You need to move that over. But if it's a situation where you're in...
You don't want to leave the freeway and pull down to Park Meadows Mall and park. That's what you're saying.
That's exactly right. Okay. Yeah, because there may be something in the roadway. You know, there are different things that happen in an accident with regards to the rubber tires on a vehicle that create different marks that may indicate the way the vehicle's moved. And that may be a really critical piece to your case as to who came into whose lanes, the yaw marks and the other things that our accident reconstructionists can talk about if we gather that evidence. Well, if you're 2 miles from the accident scene and you're not exactly sure where the impact took place, those are the things that we can never replicate.
Sure.
And so those are the sorts of things that we talk about when we talk in these shows about what things you need to consider.
Right.
Obviously, if you have a huge accident and the vehicles are immovable, or if you're, you know, whatever, then you don't have to worry about
that. That kind of plays out.
Yeah. But I'll call it a sort of a garden variety, especially in I-25 these days, where people are just traveling too close together and not leaving enough stopping distances where you have a rear end that's, you know, moderate damage, $4,000 to $6,000 worth of damages, and you are able to drive your vehicles. Those are still where you want to pull over and get some help.
Right. So really from this, just take away this. No matter how low the impact may be, still call the police.
Yes.
And because you know what? You may get out, your car is not hurt at all, the other guy's car is, or vice versa. And if a person really jumps out and said, oh, let's don't call the police, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Call the police as quick as you can, because there's a reason they're asking for that.
That's exactly right. If they start pulling out cash and say, let's take care of this on the spot, you know there's a reason that you need to call the police.
Yeah.
Because there's an issue with that driver, and maybe they shouldn't be driving, or maybe they don't have insurance. Whatever it is, you want to get to the bottom of that, and you want to have a police officer there. And that's where we sort of segue into the next part of the analysis relating to this accident is, first of all, if you're really injured, you need to get medical care right away.
Right.
Okay. If you're not... immediately needing medical care, and you have the faculties that you can try to talk to the other driver and get information, that's where you need to start doing some of that and gathering information relating to, who is the owner of the vehicle, who's the driver of the vehicle, taking pictures of the accident scene with your phone, getting pictures of the license plate, getting a picture of the VIN on the front of the front of the vehicle, you know, right below the windshield, right by the driver's side door. Doing all the things necessary to make sure that you can identify the person in the vehicle and the owner of that vehicle later.
Yeah.
Because in today's world, unfortunately, especially because DMV had been sort of dormant for so long, we've got so many temporary tags out there that people aren't getting their license.
And stolen cars?
Yeah, that's the other thing, is you don't know what the situation is with this vehicle. It could very well be that the car is stolen. And so... you want to make sure to get as much information as you can so that you can make a claim later, either against the at-fault party's insurance or against your own insurance relating to uninsured motorist coverage.
Right.
So that you can guarantee yourself some recovery later for your injuries, and that's, you're just not left holding the bag. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I have too many cases that come in on a regular basis where there's either the people don't have any idea who hit them, and then they don't have uninsured motorist coverage, or we just don't have a good idea of what happened in the accident.
Right. As far as witnesses, again, you're listening to Legal Talk, brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. As far as witnesses, what percentage of cases kind of do witnesses play into?
So if you're talking about third-party witnesses, sort of folks that aren't involved in the accident themselves, probably about 35% of the time. It's quite substantial, actually. And that's where the police do a nice job of, normally people are around, they stick around until the police get there to give their information, and then they're able to talk about what exactly took place. I've got a case right now where my client was charged with the collision. They were saying he took a left in front of oncoming traffic, and the other person was going through the intersection and hit my client and careened off into the backyard of a house. It was a good example of where the police were called because of the significance of the accident, but those eyewitnesses were able to confirm that, first of all, my client had plenty of time to take that left-hand turn. Had the person that was traveling at him wasn't doing probably double the speed limit. And even then, my client would have cleared it had the person not moved over into the, it's a two-lane road going south. He was turning left in front of them. If that person hadn't turned into basically the far right lane and for some reason hit them there, if they would have only moved over into the left lane, they would have cleared and the other driver would have missed them and everything would have been okay.
Right.
If the police hadn't been called and these witnesses hadn't stuck around, it looks like my client is at fault because he's turning left in front of oncoming traffic. But as it turned out, we now know that the other driver is the one that was at fault for that accident because he was breaking the law in the sense of the speed. And so It's those sorts of things that are so important. And we see a handful of these sorts of cases every year where the police just get it wrong. And then we do the research relating to the witness preparation and talking with these folks and recognize that, I mean, most of the time people are honest with us about what exactly is going on.
Sure.
And what their perception is. And you can glean from a couple of witnesses basically what happened. Because generally, the drivers of the vehicles will always have a little bit different take on what actually took place. You know, certainly my client who turned left said, oh my gosh, this guy was just barreling down on me. And there's some defensive mechanism relating to that. And you can understand that, but maybe it was just a tactical error on their part, that the person was too close before they turned left and it was their fault.
Sure.
Because that happens. The other driver has, you know, that was going too fast, double the speed limit, has never been willing to speak to us. So that gives us some sort of idea of what we think may have happened. Mm-hmm. Because normally folks that believe that they're not in the wrong and that are all actually the victim in the situation.
Got no problem talking to
you. Right. They have no trouble talking to you.
Yeah.
But when they don't, then it becomes a credibility contest. And when we begin to we can surmise. And that's called circumstantial evidence, right?
Sure.
We can gather some information prior to making a demand and deciding what we're going to do to make a decision about who exactly is at fault. And those sorts of things don't happen when you don't have this additional evidence that you get from the accident scene.
And nowadays, you mentioned the pictures. I mean, if you do have to move the car, if you're getting out, man, snap a few pictures if you can. And what's cool about that is, well, what I did that day, man, I can text them right to you.
Yeah.
You know, send them to your law firm.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I just had a deposition yesterday. My client fell. It's a slip and fall case, and we've got a Ring doorbell camera video of her falling.
Oh.
And it's really pretty spectacular to see because she doesn't remember it because she hit her head and doesn't have a memory of actually what took place. So, but we have this camera video. But the other interesting thing about that is then the interesting defense in this case is that she is saying that the HOA and the management company didn't take care of her steps and shovel and do all the ice melt and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And they're saying, well, if you were able to get the Ring camera for your fall, you could have even seen video where our employees were on your steps and your stool, and you know, and oh, that would give us evidence of what we did in a reasonable fashion. And I think they're going to try to make the argument that because she didn't save that she destroyed evidence for them. Which is another really interesting defense tactic in our times that, you know, I always think about providing all of the record. And
right.
Because I think it's really important, both in the criminal cases and in these civil cases, that you want to understand the context of it. And here's an example of where I think it's also important for plaintiffs to think about when you're taking the pictures. Don't only take the pictures that are the most advantageous for you,
okay,
but take them all. Because you never know what we're going to need or what we're going to be able to show. Even if there's some that maybe aren't that helpful for
sure.
you, take them so that you can't later on be accused of destroying evidence that's what's called exculpatory for the defendant.
Okay.
I know it's kind of a strange theory to think about, but I think that's what the defense is going to start doing now with all of our data that we've got with our phones, is try to suggest at some point in a jury trial, oh, yeah, they've got these pictures that are... You know, and they've blown them up, and they're, you know, they're so helpful for the plaintiff. But why didn't they take a picture of what our client has said happened at the same time? The same can be true with our dash. You know, so many people have dash cams now.
Right.
Keeping that whole segment of the dash cam to sort of show what's going on. It's those sorts of scenarios that I think we're going to be getting into arguments now on both sides about destroying evidence or not preserving evidence that was available to either party.
That's interesting.
And it is, because it makes it a super it does create an additional issue that the plaintiffs have to overcome. So I just raise that because it's just something that I see evolving, and it's something that we're going to have to start considering when we get cases ready. And it's the same thing with this sort of situation with regard to accidents, is you don't want to just take the really gruesome photos of yourself or, you know, the other things that may be happening, but also a more pragmatic view of the accident scene, so that we have that, so that we can show the whole picture, because the whole picture may be of benefit, and it probably corroborates what you're talking about anyway as a plaintiff in these sorts of cases.
Right.
But it gives you some credibility in looking at it in general, so that the jury can make some decisions about it.
Right. All right. Now, real quick, who should we call first? We get out of the accident, you know, we're okay, we're enough to make a phone call.
Yep.
Do we call you and let you know? Do we call our insurance? Because we want to be careful what we said.
Absolutely.
Too, so even if you're talking to your own company, right?
Completely agree. So the first thing is the at-fault party's insurance. You want to make sure that there's a claim made. That's where I would start. I would make a claim, make sure that they've got something started, and that you've clarified that they have insurance and that there was insurance relating to this accident that you were just in. Then you can give us a call. And then we can help you through the process of making a determination as to whether or not you need to make a claim with your own insurance, whether or not you need to make a claim for MedPay, all of those sorts of things.
Okay.
Obviously, it's most important if you're hurt, if you have any injuries, to get to a doctor.
Right.
I'm really nice on the phone, but I can't treat you. So you need to get to a medical professional and make sure you get that documented.
Sure.
And then after that, then we can figure out what to do after that. Then you come and see us, we get things moving, and we figure out the claims, get the recording, you know, they'll probably want to do a recorded statement with you. All of those sorts of things are where we can help you and make sure that you're ready for those things, depending upon your situation with your health.
Right. And when we mentioned taking pictures, of course, Kevin just went through that very clearly, but also I highly recommend take pictures of the insurance card and different things like that. If you try to write that, you're going to transpose numbers, I promise you.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you've transposed a phone number, you've transposed different numbers, and nothing matches, and that could create an issue. So just use your phone, man, and take pictures of all that stuff.
Yes.
And you can send that right to Kevin.
Absolutely. And it's the best way to harvest that information. I do that in situations where I'm meeting new clients now. I take pictures of other documents. I don't write things down. I mean, I take some notes very brief notes, but most of it is electronic data anymore.
Absolutely. Well, look, hope you don't need this, but I'm telling you, chances are at some point in your life you will. So the next last thing here, 5 seconds, hey, call 303-806-8886. Make sure you hire competent legal representation. And of course, we highly recommend Kevin Flesh and Flesh and Beck Law. Check them out, 303-806-8886. It is fleshlawfirm.com. Thank you so much for joining us today for Legal Talk. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out, or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees? Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. Trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra cost. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today 303-708-8050 or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
You're listening to KLZ 560, your home station.
This is Haystack Health Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Health Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being with us. Always good to have our friend Ryan Resch in. Bighorn Firearms, 2175 South Jasmine. It is Suite 105. You will see it there just right off of Evans and Jasmine. And Ryan, good to see you again.
Hey, it's great to be here, Scott.
What the last few weeks and couple of months been like for you?
Business as usual, you know, just new customers in all the time, new faces, and then we do a lot of repeat business. So it's always great to see that, where you kind of come out onto the showroom floor there, and it's like, you know, a whole group of your buddies hanging out. So it's been good. You know, we had a really great month of, what are we in now? March, right. And April were good to us. So just plugging along, looking at some new products, and we got some training going on now. We added some classes, some new product, and it's been good.
Yeah, and you know, keep busy. Times that I've stopped in and stuff, it does seem like, I mean, you know, store has always been pretty packed every time I've walked in there, and then you hear some guys at counter really going through something on a particular weapon with somebody, really explaining something. So I'm kind of picking up the person didn't really know what they were looking at, kind of. But that person, your staff was taking care of them that way. And then others were, I mean, it's kind of like a neighborhood feel, you know. And that's what's cool about it. You know, it's not real stiff in there by any means. And, man, it's just great to have a great staff there.
The staff is awesome. I mean, we are there to help people, mm-hmm. Give people confidence, answer all their questions, whether they're beginners or they're just starting to kind of move into a different aspect of the shooting sports, you know, whether it's like long range precision or they're starting to do some pistol competitions or something like that. You know, we're there to be guides and give you the best information we can. And all of the sales guys at the counter, they're all experts. Some of them are experts in more than a couple of areas, right. And some are very specific, but all of our guys are extremely knowledgeable, and they've got the background, and they have the real world experience to relate to the products. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's definitely a good feel. We're not pushy at all. We are just a good group of guys who really enjoy doing this stuff. Exactly. So, you know, that's the vibe you're going to get when you come in.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Now, we were visiting a few minutes before we came on air here, and you also said you maybe have a slot for a good full-time person.
Yeah, we are looking. One of our guys is going to be going back to school at the end of the summer, and so we're looking to kind of move some pieces around, and we're going to have a full-time position opening up in the shipping and receiving department. It's going to be a lead position back there. It's a great opportunity for someone who's got some experience but not a whole lot to really get familiarized with the products and learn our processes, and you know, even spend some time when it's slower in the back, spend some time at the counter and kind of see how we work that aspect of the business, sure. and potentially get groomed for a spot as a counter guy as well. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, we're not really passing up any good people. So if working in a gun shop is something that you think sounds like a lot of fun, which it is, you should just come down, fill out an application, or email Ryan at bighornfirearms.com and just let me know that you heard about the position on the radio show right. here, and we'll get to know each other a little bit and see if it's a good fit or not.
Sure.
We are real specific about, you know, hiring somebody that's going to fit well with the team,
right?
Make it comfortable for everybody. So, absolutely. But we've got a great group of guys, and I think, you know, anybody could really fit in that spot. Somebody who's motivated and, you know, has a good personality and is interested in helping people. So
right.
that's our main goal over there.
All right, and that is Ryan at BighornFirearms.com. You can shoot him an email and get in touch with him that way if you would like to inquire about that position. All right, let's kind of talk about your inventory a little bit. Man, quite an array. I was just in the other day visiting with you a second ago, and man, I mean, just all across the board.
Yeah.
But man, your handgun count, man, your cases are full.
Yeah, we're pretty stocked. I'm not sure exactly how many guns we're at right now on the showroom floor, but it's a lot to look at. We've got all the most popular stuff. Now, there is a lot of items out there that are still considered allocated. I don't see that changing anytime soon. And they are guns that are just produced on a more limited basis, mm-hmm. and they tend to be harder to get hands on. But we're always looking for that stuff. We're constantly calling our reps, our wholesalers, and even bouncing around town looking at other shops and sure. things like that for things, unique items that we can bring to our shop and put in front of customers. We do have a wish list, so if there's an item that is hard to find, we can put your name and phone number down. We can back order the item through a couple of our distributors. There is no deposit necessary for a back order. All we require is a name and a phone number.
Okay.
So it's really, there's no loss just getting on the list.
Right.
We do check that on a regular basis as we have new inventory coming in. So, you know, if you haven't heard from us, you're more than welcome to follow up at any time and mm-hmm. just check in, see how things are progressing. Right now, though, manufacturers and wholesalers aren't really giving us any sort of quality lead times on when the product may arrive. It yeah. could be, I mean, I've had stuff go on back order and had it within a week, and then I've also had stuff on back order for over a year. So it's pretty
crazy.
Hit or miss, yeah. but, you know, we're not afraid of doing the work. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, get a back order in with us, and I think you'd be surprised with how often we can turn up some hard-to-find items.
Right. Ryan Resch is our guest. Once again, the owner of Bighorn Firearms, 2175 South Jasmine. That is just right off of Evans and Jasmine. And you're open Tuesday through Saturday, correct?
Yes, sir. Tuesday through Saturday. So Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 6. Saturday
okay.
from 10 to 5. So
okay.
Saturday is the early bird day. And we do tend to have people showing up right at 10 o'clock on Saturdays.
Sure, yeah.
People like that. Get your to-do list done first thing in the morning and make for a relaxing rest of your day.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, if you need to get in a little bit earlier, Saturday is the day to do it.
All right. And you can share at their website. It's bighornusa.com as well. Now, you've also got a lot of gear, some tactical things, holsters. Kind of walk us through your showroom, so to speak.
Yeah, so we just added some more tactical stuff to kind of pair along with the holsters that we're offering. Mainly Safariland as far as holsters, and then we just added HSG high-speed gear for chest rigs, plate carriers, battle belts, pouches, and all that stuff. So we've got a nice little selection of that stuff now as well. We also got on with Blue Alpha gear, and they are doing belts. So they do the battle belts, and then we also do have some EDC belts for your concealed carry rigs and things like that. All high quality stuff that we handpick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't just, you know, get this because that's what's available. We actually
sure.
find stuff that we we personally use, and we bring it into the shop and we add it on as a new product line. That's how we've always done it, and that's not going to change. So only the best stuff as far as that's concerned. And
the tactical side's really growing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So, you know, it's just the way things have gone the last few years. You know, people are just more interested in being prepared for, you know, sure, anything that may happen. Plus, I mean, shooting's a lot of fun, you know, mm-hmm. and you need the gear to do it. So if you want to go out there and do some competing or do some more advanced training, you need the belts, you need the pouches, you know, you need all that gear. They're not going to take you in one of those classes and give you a bunch of loaner stuff, you know. Sure. So and it really is in your best interest to buy good quality stuff the first time, because if you do plan to actually use it, you're going to wear it out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, HSG, Blue Alpha, Safari Land. We got some stuff from Mira Safety, including some plates and things like that. Let's see what else. We picked up Savior equipment for gun cases, and they're making some really slick stuff at a really awesome deal. Super good value on their stuff. They're competing. I mean, their bags are nicer than a lot of the competition, and you're getting into their stuff for probably 10% less cost. Wow. to the consumer. They're really getting on the map. I've seen some of the bigger gun manufacturers start to include their stuff with their guns. So one example is Nighthawk Customs are using Savior equipment for their pistol bags now for Nighthawk 1911s, which are $3,000 to $4,000 pistols.
Sure.
So if that doesn't tell you what kind of quality the bags are, and most of their stuff is under $100. Mm-hmm. They do have some more specialized stuff that kind of goes over the $100 price point, but their double rifle cases are, I want to say, right around that $100 mark. You get into their premium stuff though, and you're looking at about $150.
Sure.
For like a nice double rifle case. Everything's padded, high quality padding, good quality zippers. Some of their other features like extra drag handles, backpack straps that actually tuck away into interior pockets. Gotcha. I mean, they're decked out.
Okay, so, cool.
Trying to think of for new stuff. I think that kind of lines us out for new product that we have right now.
All right, real quick before a break. What about ammunition? Ammo, man. I mean, that's been a struggle for a while.
Yeah, it's gotten a little bit better,
you
know, across the board. But, you know, hunting cartridges are still pretty difficult to find. Mm-hmm. But we've been keeping at it, and we've been getting the stuff in stock. So we've expanded into some more of the kind of oddball, I like to call them oddball calibers and stuff. So, you know, give us a shot, give us a call, and sure, we might have what you're looking for. You know, we might only have five boxes of this one or that one, but we are starting to expand our selection into, you know, stuff that's not as common. Ammo prices are still way up, and I don't know that they're going to be coming down anytime soon. But, you know, we do offer some discounts if we notice that you're in buying ammo from us on a regular basis and you're buying it in quantity and stuff. You know, we can talk about, you know, kind of doing some loyalty perks and things like that. Sure. So, you know, come see us in the store and we can get you a good deal and hopefully get you what you're looking for.
All right, cool. Once again, the address, 2175 South Jasmine, Suite 105. It is Bighorn Firearms. Check them out, bighornusa.com. When we come back, we're going to talk with Ryan here about estate sales and gun collections, their consignment program, and more. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Zip around the neighborhood, commute to work, or ride the trails on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are electric bikes that are fun and easy to ride. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. At eBike of Colorado, we have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Just try it. Take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Only an experienced trial attorney like Kevin Flesh truly understands the fair value of a personal injury case because he knows how juries make decisions. You and your insurance company determine the value of your case differently. Your insurance company enters keywords into a computer program to generate a dollar amount, probably leaning toward the lower end because they have an allegiance to their stockholders. You have a more emotional view of the value because you recognize the total impact of your injuries beyond economic damages. Kevin Flesh knows the truth. In our legal system, only a jury determines fair value. Unlike most personal injury attorneys who rarely bring cases to trial, Kevin Flesh spends nearly every day in court. He knows how a jury would likely react in your case, so he knows how to estimate fair value. There will always be a difference of opinion between you and your insurance company. Learn the truth from Kevin Flesh. Call 303-806-8886.
Hey, Dan. You know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney, and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being with us. If you're just getting in the car or turn on the radio, Ryan Resch is our guest, owner of Bighorn Firearms. They're located at 2175 South Jasmine. Their number is 303-758-9423. That's 303-758-9423. And Ryan, let's get into a couple of things here. First of all, in our first segment there, you mentioned some classes. Let's kind of break down the classes you're offering.
Sure. We got two classes right now. We've got Intro to Pistol, which is for the beginner, somebody who has very little experience that wants to just get some hands-on and get some instruction on just how to safely operate a firearm. There's no live shooting. We do everything with dummy ammunition, but we do handle real firearms in the classroom, but no live ammunition. And this will cover everything from basics of gun handling, so you know, and safety, so we're talking like grip and position and things like that, that you'll the fundamentals of pistol shooting, and then we also just cover basic safety operations, loading and unloading the gun, things along those lines. That class is about a 2.5 hour class. It's $75.
Okay.
Then we just recently added a concealed carry handgun class, which will meet the requirements to apply for your concealed carry permit here in the state of Colorado. It does include range time. That class is $125. It's about 2.5 hour in the classroom, covering just kind of recapping on the basics, and then we do cover some of the legal stuff, and then you're looking at about 45 minutes at the range, doing a live fire evaluation and test out, where we actually have you shooting your gun on the range. Not all offerings out there it's not required by the state of Colorado.
It's not required.
There's a lot of concealed carry classes that don't make it a requirement because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't really feel comfortable with that. We want to do it for us and for you, you know, just to make sure that everyone's confident that we're all on the same page here.
Sure.
And that we can handle a gun safely and we can fire it accurately.
Yep.
We do partner with Shoot Indoors for that. They're a local range here. They've got three locations in the metro,
mm-hmm.
The newest one being in Denver. Then they have Buckley over in Aurora and Broomfield, I believe.
Yeah, and Tim will actually be on with us next week.
Yeah. Tim's a great guy. We've gotten to know each other pretty well over the last couple of years. They take good care of us. They are not a retailer by any means,
right.
So we kind of partner with them in that respect, where we send people over there to shoot the guns that they buy from us, and they send people over to us to buy guns to shoot at their range.
Right.
So it's a pretty good deal. So good guys.
Good deal. All right. Let's talk about, I mentioned the kind of a gun collection, and there are several ways to term this. Estate sales, gun collections, whatever you may want to call it. And so I think sometimes when we talk about estate sales, people may think, well, that requires a certain number of guns. It does not. Okay, so when we talk about what's going to be our next topic here, you know, this could be two guns, this could be 100 guns, you know, whatever. So if you've just got some guns that maybe you are wanting to sell, Ryan, let's kind of explain your program.
Yeah, so, you know, if we're always looking to buy used guns, collectible guns. You know, they don't have to be old. I personally like the old guns, but, you know, we buy new guns, modern guns as well. Sometimes they're heavily used. Sometimes I would classify them as pre-owned because they've been owned but not used very much at all. But yeah, that is something we're always looking to do. We typically will, you know, evaluate them and show you what we're seeing when we're talking about retail pricing. So that way we can make sure we're on the same page and we're being completely transparent with the seller. Mm-hmm. So they feel comfortable with the deal that they're getting. Small collections, large collections, it doesn't really change so much what we pay for the guns. We base it off of a retail value, and we pay up to 70% on used firearms. We are offering to your listeners a free evaluation. So whether it's one or 100, you know, give us a call and we'll set something up. We're even willing to travel for larger gun collections within the Denver metro area. So give us a holler and let us know what you got. And, you know, let us get some eyeballs on it, and we'll give you our honest opinion of what you have and what it is worth.
Sure.
Now, this type of valuation doesn't necessarily cover you for any sort of legal actions that may be taking place.
Right. We're not talking about, and the word we were talking earlier, appraisal. Okay, this isn't some kind of formal appraisal. Okay,
correct.
This is an evaluation of just what Ryan says: what you've got, what they believe they can get for those guns, and then, hey, if that's a good fit, great. If not, you made new friends. Okay, so nobody's obligated anything there, but it is a chance to have somebody that's, you know, is going to treat you right and be honest with you. They can show you. And while the gun market's changed a little bit, Ryan, I always tell people too, just because something's listed somewhere, that doesn't mean what it's selling for. And when you buy guns like this, you don't know if you'll have a gun 2 days, 48 hours, or if you'll have it 10 months. So people have to be fairly minded when we talk about this pricing thing and what you're going to write them a check for.
Yeah, it's pretty tricky. There's a lot of factors that dictate what a gun is worth. And when we're talking about collectible items, I mean, the market on those things can be pretty volatile. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can be selling like hotcakes one week and bring in premiums, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, it's not going down like that. So, you know, we look at listings, the most current listings that we can find for guns that actually sold at auction. We will refer to the blue books on occasion. I mean, we usually use those more for just identification purposes.
Right.
Some people do live and die by the blue books. So if you've got one of those and you're reading in the blue book that it's worth this much, I mean, I would suggest taking some more time and digging around on the internet and seeing if you can find real transactions that have occurred in the last maybe 90 days or even 120 days or something like that. And that should give you a better picture of what it might sell for. Mm-hmm. And there's no guarantees, you know, especially when we're talking about, you know, items that may sell online. So, But in my experience, I typically find that if it's unique, they're unique items, they usually bring premiums, and especially when you put them online, because you open up that audience and you increase that audience size. Mm-hmm. And then you got more than a handful of guys that are coming through and they're all looking at it at the same time. You know, if you take a gun in on a used gun or a gun collection, or take something in even on consignment, and you just put it on the rack, you know, you might have at best, a handful of people in a week come in and actually look at the gun.
Sure.
If you put that gun online, I mean, there's probably hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people every yeah. day looking at it. So,
And by the way, let's just mention that comes along with your consignment program.
Correct. Yeah, we do.
And you don't, let me bring this up, not to interrupt you, but you don't want to, you're not going to take in every gun somebody brings. It's got to be fit what you guys do.
Yeah, we're pretty selective on the consignment deals. You know, we look to gear that program more towards unique, higher dollar items.
Right.
But you know, we can always have a conversation about it. We can be pretty flexible. You know, I mean, you might be able to convince us to maybe work with you on some lower dollar items that are more common. You know, if we know that there's going to be some volume there or something right. like that. So. But yeah, we are selective on that. We do charge what seems to be a little bit more than some of the other shops out there that offer consignment. But what we do is we charge a flat percentage. There's no additional fees at the end of the consignment program. When we sell the item, you pay the flat 25% fee, and that includes everything. And every gun that we sell on consignment does get a gun broker listing, and we turn those guns around very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We're willing to entertain offers and stuff via email. We monitor the gun broker emails on a daily basis. So there is the potential of selling the item off a gun broker, and we're willing to maybe negotiate the fee a little bit if an item was to sell off a gun broker, because
okay.
then we're not paying the fees there. So. There's a few different ways we work it. I mean, we're pretty reasonable guys. We're down to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all you gotta do is just give us a call or come down to the shop and bring your guns with you. And, we'll take a look. And if you've got 15 guns and you don't want to lug them down to the shop, give us a call and let's find a convenient time for us to come out and, take a look at them on site.
Okay. Once again, the number 303-758-9423. About 90 seconds left here, but I want to hit on a cool promo you got coming up with SIG. It's going on right now.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of overstock. Good guns, all brand new. SIG P365s, awesome. Double stack concealed carry gun that SIG introduced. I want to say it's almost been probably 2 years now. I mean, time has really kind of flown by here. But it's a great gun, super popular. They offer it a dozen different ways. We've got a handful of different configurations in stock right now. We'll run this promo, whether it's in stock in the shop or if it's something we order from the warehouse, the promo will apply to any SIG P365 series 9mm. We're doing 10% off, and we're also kicking in a 50-round box of Target ammo with any P365 purchase for the month of May. So,
right. Yeah. Good deal. Man, our time goes too quick, but thanks for being in today.
Thanks, Scott.
All right.
Always good.
That is Ryan Resch, owner of Big Horn Firearms. Hey, go check them out. This is a great store. You'll love it. 2175 South Jasmine, Suite 105, just right off of Evans and Jasmine. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, bighornusa.com. You can give them a call anytime, 303-758-9423. Don't forget that SIG promo is going on. Save 10% there. It's a great store. Just get in there and take a look. And again, if you've got a gun collection you want them to look at, give them a call, 303-758-9423. Thanks for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.